Are you ready? It's Saturday morning at Yahoo Sports Radio. Welcome to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon and powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance.
The golf doctor, Charlie Epps, is in. The man who coaches PGA stud, Angel Cabrera.
Follow the golf doctor on Twitter, at the golf underscore doctor.
Doctor, the golf doctor is in on Yahoo Sports Radio right now. With Charlie Epps, here's your host from the Quicken Loan Studios of Yahoo Sports Radio. It's our very own scratch golfer, sort of.
Hey, I should have stayed home and played with myself.
John Granato.
Welcome in, everybody. As the man told you, we are in our Quicken Loan Studios here in Houston, Texas, and it is great to be here on this Masters Saturday. I'm flanked by bruises, okay? I got a full house of bruises here. Bruce Davidson, the architect, the designer.
Yep, not at all.
The
partner.
The partner at Congaree, which is in South Carolina, and is coming along very nicely, which we will talk about here on the show in just a little bit. Former head professional at River Oaks Country Club in Houston, Texas. And we got another Bruce with us, Bruce Olson, who's with the Golf Performance Group out at Wildcat. And he has also said he could be here this morning, and we appreciate both you guys being here. What's up?
Pleasure to be here.
We appreciate you. Bring that closer to you. And yeah, get in there. Okay. And we got Charlie on the line? All right, good. Charlie's joining us right now. He said he was going to be looking down Magnolia Lane as he was speaking to us this morning. And hopefully he is. A beautiful sight. And it's even better when your man is playing well, and his man is playing pretty darn well this week. What's up, Charlie?
Good morning. Live from Augusta, Georgia. Outside Augusta National, looking down Magnolia Lane, the famous entrance to the golf course that's really playing hard, and it's all because of the wind. The gusting wind is telling the story. Playing hard. My man, Angel Cabrera, yes, he is playing excellent, even with a 9 the first day on 15 and then a 7 on 15. And so last night he said he wasn't going to play 15.
Yo no voy a jugar 15, Charlie. No voy a jugarla.
No, not
But he is. He's playing so well, Charlie. I felt so bad for him with that 9 on Thursday.
You know, golf is a cruel game. And, you know, look what happened to the famous Ernie Els the first day on the first green. He couldn't get the ball in the hole from a foot, and he makes a 9 on that hole. But he hung in there, and he persevered, and he didn't walk away from it. And he says he has the heebie-jeebies. Which I know, Bruce. You know, there's different words for the yips or the nerves, or you know, Hogan couldn't start the club back. It's a cruel game after you played it 25 years.
You know, Charlie, Phil Mickelson, very surprised at his fall from grace yesterday afternoon, because he was really in good shape almost all the way through the second round.
It was, but, you know, it's funny. Once you turn around the back nine and you've been playing so hard for 3.5 hours and the play is really slow because of the conditions, and it wears you down, and you make a bad swing, you don't hit it solid, and all of a sudden the ball goes in the water with a good shot. I saw it happen to Angel, and I was really surprised that Phil collapsed coming in, but conditions were very, very hard. And the storyline that I like was the amateur Chambeau. He triples the last hole. If not, he'd be, you know, right there with the leaders.
Absolutely. Charlie Epps with us on Magnolia Lane. And Jordan got put on the clock again. I mean, it happened to him in Abu Dhabi, right? And it's happened to him again. And he was pretty upset about it. He said he felt like he was hurried, but they had a big, big space between that group and the group in front of him. So is he getting the reputation being a kind of slow player out there, Charlie?
You know, they all are, John, but I wouldn't single out him. But he is definitely a deliberate player that takes a lot of different looks at the shot. I mean, yesterday, Angel's group, Sean Laurie, hooked his ball left on 12, and they got a hole behind. But, yes, John, Jordan is deliberately slow.
Charlie, it seems like the players are having much more trouble on the back nine this year versus the front nine. Why is that? Is that due to the wind and just more water on the back?
Well, the back nine is low, and the trees are very high, and it's swirling, and it's really hard to figure out which direction the wind is going to come from. And you can be on 11, and it's going one direction. You get to 12, it's going another direction. And then you get the gust, and it's a complicated game with 30-mile-an-hour winds. Plus, it's a little chilly, so the ball's not going as far as it would if it was, you know, hotter. So the back nine is treacherous because of the swirling winds.
Well, Charlie, as you know, Augusta National greens are difficult to putt at all times. Are they stimping, 12? And then you add in that 20 to 30-mile-an-hour gust. That makes the short putting, I think, almost impossible. Oh. Especially, I saw a couple of guys yesterday get behind the hole on 15.
Yes.
And you know it's in their mind. They had a chip.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
were thinking about, is this chip going yeah. to go into the water if I overhit it?
Mm.
And we see when yeah. the best players in the world can't control a chip from 10 feet, you know, most of us would never finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's devilish. It reminds me of last year out at the U.S. Open in Chambers Bay. The golf course could get away from them today, and they've got to really be more conservative with where they put the pin locations or the hole locations. And rightfully so, Bruce. And, you know, it's kind of like putting on asphalt.
Charlie Epps is with us live from Augusta National. He's on Magnolia Lane. And his guy just two over, very much in the hunt, Angel Cabrera, even with that 9 and that 7 on 15. How about this final pairing, Charlie? This is good for golf. Jordan and Rory, we're finally going to see a bit of a showdown today.
Yes, it's magnificent. It's right. It's what you would want as the final pairing to play on Saturday to get ready for Sunday. And Rory... You know, the only thing that concerns me about Rory are the putts he's missing, the short putts. He's hitting a lot of quality shots. He played behind Angel, so I was able to watch him some, and he's focused. Jordan, that's going to be a great twosome. But the guy I like, I'm going to say it right now, Brant Snedeker.
Okay, that's pretty controversial for a Saturday morning.
Yeah, Charlie, you're getting yeah. crawl crazy on us.
Think about this. He played the best round of golf so far in the PGA Tour at Torrey Pines when he shot 69 in really, really windy conditions and cold. Mm-hmm. And his putting stroke kind of is pretty good for this windy condition. He little pops it, and if he gets on a roll... You know, he could do it, but it's anybody's ball game. I mean, last week I predicted we're going to have a four-way tie.
You know, Charlie, there are all sorts of reasons that you could buy that stock of Snedeker, but if you look at the board, man, there's a lot of players that can win out there. And Matsuyama, oh, obviously.
He's playing really well.
I mean, this is going to be maybe yeah. one of the best weekends yeah. ever, I think.
Well, our good friend Jackie Burke came back from 8 shots back on the windiest day of the tournament back in 1956, and we could be, you know, ready to see the same thing. But your mentioning of Hideki Matsuyama is he's a great iron player, and I think great iron players win at Augusta.
I want to hear you pronounce Kiradesh's name, Charlie.
Hideki.
No, Kiradesh.
Kiradesh.
Yeah, for Bonrat.
Yeah, right.
We just call him Cheeseburger in my house.
You're right. He's enjoying him while he's here, isn't he? Charlie, we're going to let you go. We're going to let you get with your man, and we appreciate you. Great stuff from there, and it's got to be a lot of fun seeing him play so well.
Oh, it's the best. I mean, being at Augusta is something else. Bruce has been there, and you got a guy in the hunt, and it's nerve-wracking. But you guys have a great show. Appreciate you, and we'll talk about the winners next week.
That's Charlie Epps on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
It's 16 past the hour here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, and internationalproam.com. You want to get to a team down in Mexico, you, three buddies, and your pro, go on down there. Charlie and Billy Sitton, they do a wonderful job. Have a great time down in Puerto Vallarta. Looking for you to join them at internationalproam.com. First week of December, great time to get out, especially if you're up north. Okay, you're still experiencing a lot of snow. This is when I lived up north, watching the Masters was the start, the official start of the golf season up there, because you can't play, you can't do anything. Down here, we can play all the time. Up there, you can't, and it's starting. Well, it's still, you see snow this week in Boston and Cleveland, and it's just terrible in some places still. But you see the Augusta, and you say it's about to be spring where we can start playing again. So that's awesome. And if you're up in December and you're looking for a great place to go and get away with your buddies and compete and have a great time, it's internationalproam.com. Let's talk, first of all, for reintroducing everybody, Bruce Davidson from Congaree is with us in studio, along with Bruce Olson from the Golf Performance Group out at Wildcat. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on with Congaree. Bruce, how's it coming along?
Yeah, the course has come along great, John. Thanks. We had both our owners here last week. Mr. Friedkin came in on Monday and Mr. McNair on Thursday, and their visits went well, and those were bookends for some dignitaries that we took back and forward from Augusta who came down to see the golf course because we're only 90 miles away.
That's all?
Yeah.
Nice. And a beautiful piece of property in South Carolina, right by the Georgia border, right?
It is. It's 35 minutes from Savannah Airport, so yeah, pretty close. Ridgeland, South Carolina, actually.
And how far along are you? What's going on?
Well, buildings are coming out of the ground, John, at a great rate. We're going to open in October, so I'm sure we might be painting the night before we open, but we will open. Course will be ready by then, and it's fabulous. So as you know, it's a philanthropic venture. We've had quite a lot of interest from people who want to be part of this, and it's really, I'm quite proud to be involved in it.
And why don't you tell people what that is?
Well, instead of a normal club would have a big initiation fee, but this is a dues-only club, invite-only, and our ambassadors, as they're called, are encouraged to make a contribution to our 501c3 foundation, which is formed in Houston, the Congaree Foundation. But not only that, they have to commit to have an impact in the lives of underprivileged children or kids who are deserving of their time. So it's really quite a unique venture.
And that's what the buildings that you're talking about going up are?
Well, we renovated all the old ones, including the plantation house and all the old buildings. We've used everyone, so architecturally significant, we kept them. But we added lodgings, obviously, for people flying in. But we have a schoolhouse, a golf academy, a chapel. So this is a huge undertaking by Mr. McNair, Mr. Friedkin.
And the youngsters that do come, they're not going to live there, but they're
no,
going
not
to,
at all. I mean, first of all, there's two purposes here. There's an educational and vocational part of the puzzle, and then also golf. We will have some kids who are going to help golf-wise. But I think we start locally in South Carolina and try and get kids to graduate, give them jobs, find the right schools for them, make sure they get educated if they want to do that.
That's great stuff. Great stuff, Bruce. Congratulations. And if it's not for Mr. Friedkin or Mr. McNair, that stuff isn't going on. So,
it's not. You know, absolutely not.
Good stuff. So you got any invites out yet?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have, we have some professional ambassadors who, from around the world, guys who are playing this week, actually, in Augusta, who have committed to be part of it. I showed Ian Wisdom the golf course on Thursday last week before the event, and he said, there's absolutely no way I can get around here.
This is going to be that tough.
It's very difficult.
Yeah. Why is it? Well,
you have to build a golf course for the ages. So I say that, and man, you don't want to scare people off. If you go to the tees that are appropriate, it's one of the most playable golf courses ever designed in America. We try to build it like an old British course where you can play golf on the ground. You don't have to reach for your lob wedge. The fairways run. I mean, if you drive it 200 yards, you'll drive it 250. It runs 50 yards. But we put tees in to where we can challenge the guys who are committed to be part of this, like Woosnam and Snedeker and Scott Stallings. You know, you can't build a golf course anymore at 72 and protect some sort of par. So from the back tees, it's 71 par, 7,800 yards.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of golf. Well, no wonder he said he couldn't get around. Goodness gracious. That's fine. And he retired yesterday, too.
You know, and he did. And I spent kind of 2 or 3 hours with him and used to coach him years ago. And he never told me. And I was very surprised when I saw the Watson piece yesterday on television and found out that Woozy had kind of slipped to the sidelines very quietly. But I think that was probably due to the fact that he had been very disappointed with his scores. I mean, you see what he scored.
Mm-hmm.
He's a better player than that. And, you know, that's the thing about Augusta National is it's such a long course now for a senior that you saw Watson was hitting. Look like he was hitting 3 wood in to the last hole yesterday. And Watson still hits it a fair distance. So if you drive it 265, it's almost impossible to get around.
Mm-hmm. And he couldn't hold it. But he only missed the cut by one stroke. He can still go.
Watson, think he missed it by two. But
was it two?
Yeah.
I thought he birdied. Was two at the end.
Oh, two at the end. That's right. But even still, he played a lot better than a lot of guys did.
How about Langer at one over?
How about that?
58?
Yeah. He's pretty good player still. Heck of a player still. And the Golf Performance Group, you got there in February, right?
February 1st.
How's that going?
Good to be back.
Yeah, you're glad to be back at Wildcat?
Yes.
Bruce was there before, and now you're back again with the boys over there?
Yes.
That's just good stuff. So
it's very good stuff.
So it's golfperformancegroup.com?
Yes.
Golfperformancegroup.com. Yeah, I gave away a spot for somebody, and he got a lesson out
he
there.
He came out on Thursday morning.
And he said it was just wonderful. Great stuff. He shot 150 the last time out, so I think you could probably take some.
We got at least 10, 15.
Yeah, I think you could take a couple strokes off of his game. All right, let's talk about, we got a couple of minutes left here. Rory and Jordan going together. Is Jordan going to be affected by Rory's length? Is it going to get into his head at any point when he's hitting maybe two more clubs in on a par four?
Best thing about Jordan Spieth's game, and Bruce, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but he's just so mentally strong. He's 22 years old. He plays like he's 50. And it's you've been watching it on the Golf Channel or ESPN, the big thing at Augusta is you can't get out of position on the greens.
Right.
And he just seems to control the spin on the ball and just puts it in the right place 9 times out of 10. I mean, the obvious, where was it yesterday, 5, that he four-putted and got out of position.
Yep.
And then comes back and makes the big putt on 6 to save par. So I would like to say no, but then you go back to 2 years ago, he was definitely affected by how far Bubba was hitting it.
What do you think?
I agree with Bruce. I think the most impressive thing about Jordan Spieth to me is exactly the same as Colin Montgomery for 7 or 8 years in Europe. Is at the end of the round when he signs his scorecard, he's shot a lower score than everybody else. And I don't think anybody really knows how anybody does that. But if you look through time, the best players scored the best, and they found a way around. Jordan, at times, seems to hit it okay and then a little offline, but he has a way to gut it out and make a putt, an important putt for par. I watched this yesterday. I didn't see much of it during the day because I was working, but I watched it last night, and I don't think he's quite in control of his emotions
as
he normally is. He looked a little bit upset.
He was.
I think Rory will look at this as a chance to prove that he's a better player, and I really don't know the outcome, and I'm certainly looking forward to
watching
it. It's
going to be great, isn't it? It's going to be a fun day.
It'll be fun.
We're at halftime with the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Don't go anywhere. A lot more Masters talk.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour,
featuring Bill Harmon
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
Give it to me.
All right, 31 past on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, and the Southern Texas PGA. STPGA.com. Looking for a pro? STPGA.com. And get some help. Get some help with your game, right, Bruce?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, why get out there and be miserable for 4 or 5 hours?
Why be frustrated when you can have fun?
You can have fun doing it. Let's go.
It's supposed to be fun, isn't it?
Yeah. Get out there, and the guys will tell you what you're doing wrong. I've been up there at Wildcat. You guys have worked on on me trying to make a racing mule, and it's so much better when you're playing well. So get to stpga.com. Find a pro. There's so many great teachers out there.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah. You miss teaching, Bruce?
I missed it this week when I wasn't with Mark O'Meara. It was kind of the first Masters. I hadn't been there in almost a decade, I suppose, and it was kind of a bittersweet deal. It was fun not to have the pressure, but it's sure when I'm looking at the scores on the internet, I'm thinking, oh, dear, I wish I'd been there. But never mind. Not that you can do anything there.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Who knows? You might have put a thought into his head.
You never know.
Yeah, he had a rough time of it. Man, I tell you what, the scores, and you mentioned Bernhard Langer playing this well, and then you see Phil come in. Zach Johnson, I thought he was going to be a contender this week. Ricky, what about the way Ricky played this week?
That was surprising to me because I personally think that Ricky Fowler's maybe the most talented of all of them, of the younger group. I think it's unbelievable how far he hits the ball with his frame because he's really quite small, and I understand the physics as well as anybody, I think, about generating speed, but it's pretty hard to hit the ball that far when you're 155 pounds dripping wet. I've got a thought on Zach Johnson. You know, he changed equipment, and I've always been a ping guy, but I've always used a Vokey sand wedge, and I mean, it's not like Ping can't make them for me, but for whatever reason, the Vokey one, when you get used to a sand wedge around the greens, and of course he's changed to PXG clubs, which I know are terrific. Mr. Parsons started that company. I've seen them. I think they're fabulous. But when you change wedges, I think that's about as important as any change a professional golfer can make, especially when you've lived on them. You know, Zach Johnson has had to be good with his wedges.
Mm-hmm.
And even although they give you the same bounce, you can do CAD drawings, for goodness sake, and get the exact shape and the bounce and the loft and lie angle perfect, but they might not feel the same. And when you're playing a golf course like Augusta National where the greens are treacherous and you have to land the ball the right distance, if you get your distance wrong just by a couple of feet, you're turning a birdie into a double bogey. And it would be very interesting for me. You know, when Rory went with Nike, there was all that talk for a year about it did take him a bit of time to get used to the equipment. And I think to change clubs or to change your wedges right before Augusta National might have been a bridge too far.
Well, to a little something too. You know, it was funny, though, the last time that we've had these kind of conditions where then Zach Johnson won the tournament,
yes,
2007.
Kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, that's what I thought. Man, that dude's going to. He's going to be there this week, and he sure wasn't. Watching Bryson DeChambeau. Now, you got a story about your partner over at Wildcat at the Golf Performance Group. He got a little taste of Bryson.
First-hand experience.
Yeah.
The young amateur dropped, I think it was about, JJ told me yesterday, it was about an 80-footer on the second extra hole over at the U.S. Open local qualifier at Westwood.
To get that last spot.
Yes.
And so he got that last spot at the qualifier, and JJ came with you.
JJ got DeChambeau'd.
Yeah, he did. He got DeChambeau'd. But it's a bit different swing. His lie must be different than everybody else's, isn't it? What the way that it's
awkward looking.
It is. He seems to be more upright, isn't he?
Well, he has to be. Every club he has in his bag is a 6-iron length. So whatever length a 6-iron is, his 3-iron is a 6-iron length, and his sand wedge is a 6-iron length. So all his irons are the same length.
What do you think about his theory on this?
We kind of like what my grandmother said, you know, when she was watching the passing out parade, and she said, look, every one of those 100 guys is out of step apart from my grandson. You know, he's dancing to the beat of his own drummer, for sure.
He is, but what about his results?
You know, the thing about golf at that level is whatever you do, you have to believe in it. And he obviously believes in his own theories. He's a golfing machine guy. I actually got a book, How to Decipher the Golfing Machine, and read it, and I still couldn't understand it. So it's all about physics and angles, and I was an F student in trigonometry, so I'm past that. It's very complicated, but if you look at his swing, it's governed by the length of his club. So he stands extremely upright, which you have to do, and his wrists are very high, which he has to do, and he swings upright because he has to do that. And with those lie angles, he's going to be prone to hit one to the left. And especially if he gets a side hill lie, because if the club's too upright, the toe of the club's in the air, the heel of the club's going to drag, and it's going to close down quicker than it would off a flat lie. So it'll be interesting. You'd almost think if there was one golf course he couldn't win on, it would be a Lynx course or Augusta National because of all the side hill lies.
Right.
And yet, look what he's doing.
Right. You don't get a flat lie there, do you?
I mean, very seldom.
Very seldom. And yet, look at where he's at, if not for that, you know, the two bad drives.
He's been really solid.
He really has been.
And he's got holes.
And we talked about Jordan's mentality a little bit. Saw him getting a little bit upset with himself, but he seemed to, by the time he got to the next tee box, that's something about it, too, is letting it go, right?
I think he has one of the best pre-shot routines in the game, just the way he and Grawler work together and the visualization and the rehearsal of what he's wanting to do and what Cameron McCormick is doing with him in terms of that golf swing. They were making a big deal on that left elbow on the Golf Channel yesterday morning, and it's just everything so calculated. And the post-shot routine, I think, is almost as good as the pre-shot routine because there have been a couple times the last couple days where he has looked frustrated, but like you said, he walks off the green and the pace that he's walking, you can tell he's angry. But by the time he gets to the next tee, he's right back in composure.
Well, you make a good point here, and we're on the radio, so it's tough to show pictures, obviously. But if you look at his left elbow through impact and you think about this, Lathibal?
Yes.
Spieth? Fowler?
Yes.
All right. So, I mean, there have been guys, Westwood.
Ooh, good one.
There have been lots of guys who were known as great ball strikers whose left elbow separated from their body, in fact, stayed bent through impact. I mean, we all knew about Calvin Peet, but that was physical. But the kid that I taught from a young age here in Houston, who's a good player, Cole Hammer, did the same thing, and I never touched that. And when I turned him over to Kevin Kirk, Kevin didn't touch it, because if someone does that naturally, then to try and stop them doing it, to me, is just cardinal sin. Kids have talent, let them go. I think Cole Hammer's now going to Cameron McCormick for lessons. So he's now going to a guy who's taught the best player in the world who bends his left elbow. So there's a kind of a message there for everyone. If someone's really good doing something, that you don't necessarily have to change it. You just have to take that and work around it.
Well, that was like your point, Bruce, about DeChambeau. I mean, like you said, if he believes in what he's doing, why, he dances to the beat of a different drummer, but if it's working, which it clearly is,
yeah,
the kid's even par.
I mean, yeah, and how many guys, five guys, have won the U.S. Amateur and the NCAA tournament, NCAA championship?
And to finish off that point, there have been so many guys in time who get to the top and say, right, I want to be better. I'm going to change what I'm doing. Luke Donald.
Yeah.
Sandy Lyle. I mean, Sandy's had 30 years in the wilderness. His swing used to be very agricultural, and his father taught him how to play, and he tried to make it look better. Well, it might look okay, but it's impact that's the most important thing. And if you look at Jordan Spieth's impact condition and where his club hits and the divots that he takes, that's why he's the best player in the world. Impact and his putter.
And his putter.
His putter.
Now, he was making those most every 10, 12-footer last year. Sometimes they're not dropping
that's
this year.
That's hard to do.
But they're dropping. Seemed like they're dropping again this year,
yeah.
At least at Augusta. At least this week he's dropped a few of them. All right, we got one segment to go here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
All right, our fourth and final segment here. We've got the master instructor, Bruce Davidson, with us here, along with Bruce Olson, who is teaching at the Golf Performance School at Wildcat as well. If you need, give the phone number over there, Bruce.
281-467-3501. That's my number.
That's your number. Call Bruce directly. All right? Got you and JJ and Tommy and all kinds of great instructors out there. And if you're looking for, you know, great place, great practice, everything about it. We've got David, who is on the line. We've got these great teachers in here, and David wants to talk about the grip here on the show. Maybe you guys can give him a hand. Hey, David, how are you?
Great. How are y'all?
Good.
Yeah, I know this is radio, so this might be hard for me to explain, but the last year or so, I've developed calluses where my hands touch in the grip. And I've had some lessons, and they look at my grip, and they think, you know, they might make a minor change or something, but where I put my hands at a dress and all seems to be good. But evidently, I'm doing something during the swing, you know, moving a hand or re-gripping or something. And I was wondering if there is some sort of a drill or a tip or a something not to do or that somebody could recommend.
Well, hey, good morning, David. This is Bruce Davidson here. A couple of things, mate. First of all, it would depend where the calluses are. We can't do that on radio. Everybody who hits a lot of golf balls gets calluses in their hands, but there's a correct and an incorrect spot for those. There's a couple of things immediately spring to mind. Are your grip sizes the correct size? Because if they're too small or too large, they'll be hard to hold on to. The composition of your grips, if they're not tacky enough, your club can move around. It's normal for the club to move around in your hand if your grip is slightly off because you're going at great speed. But if you get with an instructor and there is a grip trainer, we had them at River Oaks all the time. When we started people off on the golf game, we didn't let them hit balls without these grip trainers, various sizes. And they're actually a model of Ben Hogan's and sometimes Mark O'Meara's, and that's true grip because they had great grips. Just go ahead and get one of those grip trainers and swing
and
with
it'll
that.
Teach you.
Yeah.
Get
an old club, put it on, hit balls with that. That'll teach you where your hands
should be. And I don't get the callus where my clubs touch my hands. It's where my hands touch each other. So I'm thinking they're moving against or between or whatever with each other. I don't know.
Yeah, well, if your hands are, do you use an overlap or just a 10-finger grip?
I use overlap, just a pinky there.
Well, you might want to go interlock and try that one.
All right.
Go ahead and check the position of your ring finger on your right hand.
That's where one of the calluses is, at that last knuckle.
What that is when you're overlapping, you're probably trying to get the pinky on your right hand too deep into the last couple fingers of your left hand, and that's causing your ring finger on your right hand to ride up on the pointing finger on your left hand, if that makes any sense at all on the radio.
And that's where the other callus is.
So what I would make sure is when I'm overlapping, you could, like Bruce said, try an interlock and see if that works. That might help. I couldn't do that. Just instead of overlapping that pinky finger on the right hand so deep into the left, just let it ride piggyback on that last finger on the last finger on the left, and try and get just a little bit of separation to where you make sure that the ring finger on your right hand is sitting completely on the club and not riding up on the pointing finger on the left, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, I understand exactly. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Good stuff. And look, you get to teach again, Bruce.
Yes, nice, great.
You're a master instructor.
No, master professional.
Master professional, excuse
which is
me.
Jack of all trades, master of none, and you're old enough to they give you an award.
They give you master professional, which is about as good as it possibly gets. We don't have much time left here. So, what's going to happen today and this weekend? Jordan and Rory going head to head. Who wins today, Bruce?
Money's on Rory.
Your money's on Rory? Bruce Davidson?
I think so, too, but I don't think either of those two are going to win, and I don't know who is.
Will it get in Rory's head after what happened to him? Is there any chance that he looks back from a couple of years ago with that big lead and how he fell apart?
I don't think so. I think he's much better player than he was then, and just all those wins since then, I think he can exercise that.
Yeah, I don't think so at all. I'm just looking down the field here. I think Dustin Johnson's a sleeper.
There's another guy, though, that's got to finish, right?
Matsuyama and Danny Willett.
Watch Danny Willett. Good player. Good player. I had Snedeker beforehand in my seven.
Well, you're looking pretty good.
Seven guys, and I got him in my seven. Yeah, I like what Butch is doing, a hell of a job with him, isn't he?
Yeah, I personally don't see that big a difference in his golf swing. Do you, Bruce?
No.
You know, he worked with Todd Anderson before, and then he's gone with Butch. It's like changing from a Mercedes to a BMW, you know, and they're both great instructors. But it's just sometimes you find the intangible or a thought that seems to work, or, again, he believes what he's doing better than he does.
Some of it is confidence.
He's a nice guy, so it would be really good to see a nice guy win.
Jason Day, the back nine has killed him this week.
He's still out there, isn't he?
Yeah, he's only one over, so he's still lurking,
isn't he? Out there with his visualization?
Is he?
You talk about slow now. That boy's going to have to speed up.
I mean, closing the eyes and the
wiggle. Oh, good Lord.
But, hey, he's still lurking right now.
Listen, if there was a golf course, anyone for a golf course, would be Jason Day for Augusta. As high as he hits it in his short game and his bunker play.
He might be able to wiggle his way back in.
Yeah, he might be able to wiggle his way.
Quickly, who wins?
Rory.
Matsuyama.
Good pick.
I'm going Snedeker. All right, guys, we appreciate you. Thanks for both coming in today. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.